Hi, I'm Bea Copin, and this is 36 Years, where we talk about Philippine politics, news, and democracy. On May 9, the Philippines elected Ferdinand Marcos Jr. as president. He is the second Marcos to hold the post, the first being his father, the dictator who was ousted from power on February 25, 1986, in what is now called the People Power Revolution. That was 36 years ago. Here we try to answer the question, where is Philippine democracy heading 36 years after the revolution? Welcome to 36 Years, available on Rappler social media pages and on wherever you listen to podcasts. First political headlines you should not miss. It is a new era for the Philippine opposition. One of outgoing Vice President Lenny Robredo's acts as sitting official, administering the oath of office of the next de facto leader of the opposition, Senator Risa Ontiveros. Ontiveros is the lone candidate from the opposition to make it into the Senate in the 2022 elections. She joins a Senate dominated by allies of the administration coalition. They're either allies of the outgoing President Rodrigo Duterte or senators who either ran or are friendly towards the incoming President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. and Vice President-elect Sara Duterte. In a speech after the ceremonial oath-taking, Robredo told Ontiveros, quote, "You are now the highest elected official sa opposition, and lahat kami masaya na ikaw yung natitirang humahawak ng ating bandila." In English, "You are now the highest elected official in the opposition, and we are all happy that it's you who will continue bearing our flag." It will be a heavy burden for Ontiveros, a longtime advocate for human rights and gender equality. The opposition has practically been decimated under President Rodrigo Duterte. It also did very poorly in the 2022 elections, just like it did in the 2019 midterm elections. The 19th Congress, yun yung tawag sa Congress when it opens on June 30, both the Senate and the House, is expected to be dominated by a supermajority allied with the Marcos administration. As of recording, that's June 28, only one other senator has expressed plans to join Ontiveros in the minority of the Senate, that's Senator Coco Pimentel Jr. Second headline, more security for the next vice president. The Armed Forces of the Philippines over the weekend announced the activation of the Vice Presidential Security and Protection Group. That's a new unit that will be tasked to protect the incumbent Vice President of the Philippines. That means Sara Duterte and succeeding the Vice Presidents after her. Security of the Vice President used to be under the Vice Presidential Security Detachment, which is under, and bear with me kasi mahaba-habang journey to, the Special Detail Unit or SDU of the General Headquarters and Headquarters Service Command of Camp Aguinaldo. Those two units are in charge of managing the entire camp, which is the headquarters of the armed forces. The new separate AFP unit means, according to a media release from the AFP itself, that it will be better equipped and more capable of providing security in multiple engagements of the vice president nationwide. As a daughter of the outgoing president, Sara Duterte is already entitled to and enjoys security from the Presidential Security Group. But once she starts her term as vice president, her security team will shift to the VPSPG as soon as she starts office on June 30. Now, I've spoken to people familiar with how security works for vice presidents, and they did say that this seems like a good idea, especially for the troops, yung tropa mismo na assigned to the vice president and their family. But it's the statement from the VP-elect Sara Duterte, a statement of her camp released on her behalf. They released this on June 26. That is interesting, and let me quote it. "That foresight was demonstrated in this activation was likewise highly laudable, that it may be expected to solve the challenge if, in future elections, the vice president and the president face the misfortune of having strained relations." Sara Duterte and Bongbong Marcos Jr., of course, are allies. They ran together in 2022. So that makes that statement rather curious indeed. Finally, it's all systems go for the oath-taking of the 17th President of the Philippines. Ferdinand Marcos Jr. will be taking his oath on June 30 at the National Museum of Fine Arts in the city of Manila. Of course, the country's top officials as well as top diplomats are expected to attend the event on Thursday, including an official delegation from the U.S. Pinag-usapan namin yun. Or pag-uusapan namin yun ang guest ko for today, for this episode, Professor Xiao Chua, later on in this episode. Rappler, yours truly, specifically, will be on site to cover the inauguration of President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. I'll see you then. Now on to our interview. Our guest today is a historian who, more importantly, I think, for the younger generation especially, you know, runs a YouTube channel where he deep dives into different aspects of our history. His episodes are quite long, but honestly, like the other day, I was like watching, last night even, I was watching his episodes and ang dami mong pulot na little things na you tend to gloss over in school or even in your personal memory. So I highly recommend watching that. I've always believed that in order to make sense of the world around us currently, aside from taking into account yung nangyayari, yung context, yung current context, importanteng to look back in our history, even in the in like things that happened centuries ago. So hopefully Professor Xiao Chua can help us with that today, making sense of our world. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for carving out time. I know it's a busy week for you leading up to the inauguration. Siguro yung pinaka-start natin, sir, parang why do we have inaugurations in the first place? Kasi technically, any elected official, all you have to do is take your oath and then when your term starts, according to the constitution or whatever circumstance leads you to holding that elected post, basta andun ka lang and you start your office, okay na yun technically. But why do we have inaugurations?
Well, makasaysayang araw, Bea, and to everyone. Basically, it's like, why do you have to attend mass? Even if you do not see God. Or why do you go to worship? Or why do you even have flag ceremonies? Diba? They sing the national anthem. You cannot see the country in many ways. Diba? These ceremonies are actually the way that we visualize abstract concepts. So for example, inaugurations are celebrations of democracy. Why? You celebrate the fact that you have elected a new leader and that the terms and limits of the presidencies are respected. President Cory once said that inauguration is the glory of democracy, that its most solemn moment is the peaceful transfer of power. So that's why we have inaugurations. It's like a party. And that the people share with the new era because they have elected the new leader. So that's how it is. Parang kailangan kasama ang bayan, kasama ang tao dun sa celebration.
Kumbaga, we have to understand that not so much as a party or an event for the president-elect or whoever was elected, but it should be for the electorate in a way, no?
Yes.
Parang congrats to all of us. We have successfully conducted yet another election with asterisks.
Because in America, they regularly hold their inaugurations after election. So kung hindi mamatay yung presidente, hindi naman namatay, hindi naman nag-resign, they will have a regular inauguration, which means that at least their electoral process is working and it is stable. Kasi what is not stable is having a coup d'etat. And then you have another transfer of power or in a revolutionary situation. So that means that your democracy is volatile. So when you have elections all the time and you have a new president all the time, the outgoing president respects the term and steps down. And then the new and passes it on peacefully with the new leader.
Yeah.
Although yung nabanggit ko kanina asterisk, kumbaga, syempre we have to, with a disclaimer, but it's a topic for a different podcast and show altogether, di ba? The issue of disinformation,
oh, yeah.
In the context, of, especially given the 2022 elections, but that's another topic altogether.
Right.
Shao, nabanggit mo sa isang, I forget which specific episode, but I think it was the episode on traditions, sa inauguration, but you mentioned hearkening back to the, I think the very first inauguration that we had, or one of the first few, the importance, parang the role of an inauguration in the idea of building a nation, or the idea of a nation itself. Bakit nga ba important yun?
Well, first of all, ano, we always fault the Malolos Congress, for example, for having a Malolos banquet.
Mm-hmm.
Because we say that, you know, if you look at the menu, they were actually written in French, but they're actually Filipino dishes. They just put French names.
Yeah.
Why so elitist, diba? But actually, if you're going to look at it, same with inaugurations. It's actually your way of telling the world that we are a nation, that we know how to work in a democracy. And in many ways, the inauguration, you invite the ambassadors, you invite foreign leaders. I think the second gentleman of the United States, the husband of Kamala Harris, the vice president, will come. So that is very important. The recognition of other states that you are a sovereign, independent country, which Emilio Aguinaldo, when he held his inauguration in Malolos, Bulacan, was what he was longing for. That's why they had such pageantry, there was a parade, we want to show the world that we know how to do it the way the diplomats and the international community do it. So in a way, that's how important inaugurations are as well.
Yeah. And people might, nabanggit nga ni Professor no, na may official delegation si ang United States, they announced it by a press release. And maybe on inauguration day, magkataka kayo, bakit ina-emphasize to, bakit ba important to. But again, like you mentioned, di ba, parang on top of, you know, parang showing the world na, okay, we successfully conducted an election, this is our peaceful transfer of power. It also, in a way, parang, di ba, parang it paints or it sets the tone for the incoming administration. Ito yung relations natin with this specific country, in this case, the U.S., you know, a superpower, kumbaga, ano nga, yung tagline nila, friends, partners, allies natin. So, parang, it goes beyond symbolism also, right?
But
of course, symbolism there is very heavy, obviously.
So, I'll tell you something, ano, if Duterte has China pivot, you know, was more had an inkling on China than on America. Mukhang the Americans are wooing again the Philippines, to bring us back to the fold. But as we all know, Bongbong Marcos also have very close relations with the ruling Chinese Communist Party. So we do not know how it will play out. I hope that they will that he will be independent, that he will not so much, at least in words, give up sovereignty to our highlands, you know.
Yeah.
But be friendly with all nations. I think that's much better. I respect the United States as our ally for a long time, while recognizing our tumultuous relationship with them and learning from it, that we should always get into consideration our interests, not just their interests, diba? American interests and Chinese interests for that matter, but to also get into consideration our interests in dealing with other countries, but being friendly with them as well.
Naalala ko lang, speaking of, we're already talking about visitors in the inauguration and the symbolism of that, kasi I recently was in Davao City for Sara Duterte's inauguration. And at one point, I felt very silly as a reporter kasi nakaabang kami sa red carpet na parang, ano ba to? Bakit ako nakaabang sa red carpet for a political event? But then, when this guest started trickling in, arriving, that's when you realize na it's kind of important in the political context to na mag-abang kung sino ba yung inimbita at sino yung dumalo. kasi nakita natin may contingent yung highest na official so far ng US Embassy kasi wala pa hindi pa lumilipad dito yung incoming na ambassadors in charge of the affairs yung dumating for the vice presidential inauguration in Davao City and then mamaya dumating yung Chinese ambassador himself. So parang ano din eh, parang hindi rin siya, kumbaga hindi lang siya red carpet moment lang. Ang dami niyang karga in the context of Philippine politics and diplomacy.
Marami rin karga sa who was not there.
Yes,
diba?
Exactly.
Yung yeah. Who doesn't walk in that carpet? So yeah. For example, yeah. Diba? Or who was yeah. not beside the presidential family
right.
when one takes a note? Diba? Alam right. mo na na baka there's something there, you know?
Right. I ask you the first question because a lot of people might feel na hindi naman na, parang hindi namin nakakain ng inauguration na yan. It's not a gut issue. Which is true, I guess, in a way. But
yeah.
But I think it's also important to understand kung bakit nga ba tayo nag-inauguration, what are these symbols, what are these elements about the inauguration. Because of the incoming inauguration on the 30th, and because I've been assigned to cover it, I've also had a week-long pa lang naman, sir, na obsession sa mga past inaugurations. So I've been rewatching. Thank you for uploading, by the way, yung inauguration ni former President Joseph Estrada, which I now realize in retrospect, it was a whole thing. Nagulat ako sa dami ng ceremonies, meron pang inang bayan na procession, they rode in a carriage. I'm mentioning some of the unique traditions, unique features of the ELAP inauguration, but ikaw, what are your, siguro, instead of like walking us through the inaugural traditions, because you, if you want to do that, you can actually watch his YouTube channel. What are your favorite traditions during an inauguration?
Well, una sa lahat, ano, Bea, it's always that we need ceremonies to reinforce some of our beliefs, some of our traits, some of our, you know, ganito yan eh. We might not like the person in power, but he is the president. Oh, and since tinanggap na ni VP Lenny and the others, no, I mean at least that the results are like this. Ibig sabihin no, na we will be moving forward as a country. Na hopefully na learning the lessons of the past. Oh. And making a better future. Yan lagi ang message ng inauguration. And of course, to even if we do not agree with each other, you embrace us because we are one Filipino people. Yeah. How do you mend the sabi nga ng BGs na how can you mend a broken heart? So you don't gloat in an inauguration na kami ang panalo at kayo ang talo. You don't do that. That's improper because the inauguration is always a call for unity. True unity, ah. So that's why unity is one. We are one nation. We are on the same journey, on the same boat. Diba? The ship of state. That's why in the first inauguration of Rojas as President of the Republic in 1946, there was a ship of state in front. That was the symbolism. Isang bangka lang tayo. So it reminds us that we are in one boat. But also, yung isang favorite ko is really the after the swearing in of the president, the ritual climbing of the stairs. Now it's very short.
Yeah.
A lot of people will not even notice it. But because President Manuel Quezon was elected president of the Commonwealth in 1935. That was the very first time a Filipino will occupy Malacañang. Malacañan, the palace. Malacañan, the palace. And so, he heard of a story, an urban legend, doon sa stairs na sinasabi na noong December 29, 1896, doon daw gumapang si Doña Chodora Alonso, nanay ni Rizal, to beg for the life of his son to the Governor General. Which, of course, she wrote the Governor General, but the gapang probably did not happen. She was not like that, ano? Yeah. But the mere fact that he cherish this story very much. According to Manuel Quezon III, Manolo Quezon, the grandson, symbolizes how he wanted to prove that now the Filipinos are ruling.
Yeah.
And nobody has to beg for the life, for their own life if you're a Filipino. Human rights aspect of the inauguration, that the president elect, the new president climbs the stairs of Malacañang, and claims possession of the palace, as the president of the people, and will now take care of the needs of the people, will now take care of the interests of the people, and also that he will that no one has to beg for his life.
Yeah.
Yun dahil Pinoy na ang pangulo ng bansa. So napakaganda nung symbolism na yun. That's what I like about, aside from other things. Of course, one thing that is awkward but very beautiful would be the outgoing president and the incoming president going inside the car. And that's very interesting, especially kung magkahaway sila.
Yeah. And it's in the at least in the post EDSA era, parang ilang times pa lang tayo nakakita ng continuity candidate who won. Di ba normally, Gloria to Pinoy, yun talaga, di ba, the contrast yung kandidato ni Gloria sa campaign ni the late President Aquino. So actually interesting nga yun. As a journalist also, like you read their body language, you try to lip read. It's impossible to do it. Sa totoo lang, pero it's alam mo yung tradition na nabanggit mo, yung why the president, why it's a moment, like why it's a big deal to climb up those stairs. I didn't actually know that until I watched your video on YouTube. Why? I'm not sure if I missed the lesson in school, or was it, or maybe it was just never taught to us.
Well, it's a really minor thing, na hindi naman kailangan ituro sa school.
Yeah.
But if we have commemorations like this, maganda na ipaliwanag. That's why ako, I'll tell you something. What I'm frustrated about commemorative events is that hindi na sila nag... Dati kasi, nakalagay ako dyan eh. I'm not saying that you should get me, pero dati nakalagay ako sa mga ganyan. So in-explain ko ba't nagmamarcha yung presidente, in-explain ko bakit may taps, yung sound ng kapag nilagay yung bulaklak doon, then you have the raffles and flourishes, the bugle call, the 21-gun salute, na pagka pumuputok yung 21-gun salute, minsan mga teacher pang nakikita kong nauuna na tumatawa o nagugulat.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, that should be a solemn moment. Kapag nag-aalay ng bulaklak ang presidente, tapos tumunog yung mga ano na yun, ilalagay mo yung kamay mo sa dibdib mo and then you will look at the monument. Diba? May mga ganong mga instances. For example, isang solemn moment sa inauguration is really the oath-taking. Tumatayo yung buong, yung mamamayan doon Hindi kayo nakatayo, hindi kayo nakaupo pagka nakatayo yung mga tao. That's a very solemn moment. Which means, in a way, you are invoking a sacredness. You're putting sacredness to the moment para pahalagahan na nanunumpa tayo sa Diyos. No, kung meron man Diyos, 'di ba? At meron nga na gagawin natin yung tungkulin natin. And in fact, I see an added, this is my opinion. I see an added reason why we should also stand up. Because that solemn moment also means that we should also take our oath as a people with the president to watch his oath if he's going to fulfill it. Diba? To support him when he is right and to say something when he is wrong. So yun, I think is a better way of doing it rather than it's just president centric.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like the State of the Nation address as well. It's a ritual that we do because when we are all watching that, in many ways, whether you're a critic and you are protesting, or whether you're a supporter or you're just watching, it makes us a one people, one nation, and it's a very good reminder again. And that we should always be concerned with what's happening in our around us.
Yeah. Kumbaga hindi tayo dapat passive watchers and viewers lang of these ceremonies, including the inauguration. ano naman yung ano yung or siguro kasi baka marami lang kung if I ask you to name everything ang haba masyado. Siguro what traditions have changed in a major way, in a meaningful way through the years?
Well, for example, well, not so much, ano, kasi if there is way naman the two presidents will meet before the oath taking, so nangyayari naman yan halos, no? And then of course you have the arrival honors or the departure honors for the outgoing president, in which he or she leaves immediately, who say that, you know, there's a new boss, and there's a new servant leader, and that, you know, my time is up, and he will respect that before the oath is taken, he or she will leave. Except, of course, if he wants or she wants to watch it. So, Cory Aquino wanted to watch the oath-taking. Fidel Ramos wanted to watch the oath-taking. And I have to check the inaugural of ERA, but I even think they were there during the inaugural speech. I really do not know. I have to check. But also, you have the oath, taking of the oaths. The national anthem, who sings the national anthem, is quite important as well. So it shows you who are the artists that matter for a certain presidency. Like Nora Odoa, for example, who did it twice. For ERA and Gloria. Especially for Gloria because she looks like her, ano? And siyempre si Charisse Pempenko. And now Tony Gonzaga daw will sing the national anthem, no? Imagine. So being the one who really, you know, stood up for Bongbong Marcos.
Yeah.
Na talagang binash talaga, no? At kinansel. But also, so the oath-taking, you have the inaugural speech. Again, some of the things that I really love about inaugurals are the ones that are not noticed. The Raffles and Flourishes after the oath, which are the sound that the band makes. Raffles and Flourishes, drum rolls, and ano yan eh. And trumpet sounds 4 times, which is the highest honor given either to the highest official of the land or a dead hero. So a dead soldier, a hero, no? 21 gun salute. And then the Mabuhay March is played, which is the presidential fanfare. Fanfare meaning the president is coming. So yun yung maririnig mo. And then, of course, the inaugural address, which calls the people to unite and also tells you how are you going to unite, what is your agenda. It sets the tone, in very specific terms, which the SONA can, he will deliver in July, will contain. But really, a more general terms on how to unite people and how to push forward this agenda. Mm-hmm. So, yan yung ano, no? And then, of course, you have some of the things that are always sometimes not included would be the inaugural parade. Sometimes wala nun eh. But inaugural parades are also important because it's a civic military parade. So you have civic leaders, NGOs before, but now puro military parade na lang. Which also shows the military assets and how strong the armed forces is. So it's a salute of the armed forces, but it's also a celebration of the strength of our military. Ito yung mamanahin niya as commander-in-chief. And then of course there are sometimes when there are bandinors, which is the reception to the diplomatic community, and the inaugural dinner. So usually yun ang simplest way, you know. Of course ERA's inaugural was the most bongo of all, I think. Talagang kasi there were 2 inaugural parades in Malolos, di ba? Yung Inang Bayan was actually copying the tradition of Emilio Aguinaldo's inaugural. Because that was the thing. 100 years from Aguinaldo to ERA. Unfortunately, they swore in Baratsuay Church and both did not finish their terms. So, yan ang mga ano dyan. May peg talaga na ano, parang history. Because, you know, why was the ERA inaugural so bongga? Because it was only a few days after the 100th birthday of the nation, which had the same ano peg, pero mas bongga lang kasi sobrang laki ng Philippine Centennial. If I mean, sabi mo, high school ka na yata noon?
Grade school.
Grade school. Oh, matanda ako ng konti sa'yo. So, yeah, I saw that already.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. When I was watching your video, I mean, of the full inauguration and also your recap of inaugurations, medyo nagka-whiplash talaga ako nung nakita ko yung Inang Bayan na pumaparada. Kasi parang, oh, I totally forgot that even happened. Yung karuahe, parang gets ko pa yun eh. Pero the Inang Bayan was really extra, ano yun, extra, in the parlance of 2022, extra pa under yun in the context of the inauguration. But I like what you said about the...
Sorry, I just have to add. Kasi yeah, it's the people's, the inauguration is of course the people's party. So kailangan, kung hindi sila kasama doon sa reception, because it's diplomatic, it's formal, it's for, you know, the powerful, doon sila sa inauguration concern. So, natin sa grandstand yan, no, kung saan man, merong ganyan na para doon naman nagpa-party yung mga tao. And then, sa US kasi may inaugural balls.
Yeah.
Kung makailan yun, pupuntahan yun ng presidente, magsasayaw siya, tapos alis, punta na naman. Iikutin niya lahat yung inaugural ball na yun. Sa atin naman, may concert. So, pwedeng may time kung after siguro ng dinner, pupunta siya dun sa concert na yun. We really don't know kung ano yung schedule pa niya. But yun yung usual na nangyayari dyan.
Yeah. I have a side question though, because you know, in Philippine politics, yung parating criticism or parating sore point is how we're very much personality-driven because parties don't exist in the Philippines. Therefore, we rely on dynasties and a lot of times personality politics and personalities to drive, you know, a successful campaign. But I'm just thinking out loud, but like, doesn't this also contribute with the pomp and pageantry of an inauguration into basically, you know, parang, in a way, edifying whoever wins a presidential election?
Well, it depends on how the inauguration is handled. No? As the simpler it is, the better. Palagang pag nakita mo yung Joseph Estrada inaugural, talagang ano, may statua pa nga si Joseph Estrada na ipinarada doon eh. May monumento siyang ipinarada. Of course, it was makeshift, but you know, parang ano, alam mo na na, well, not saying that it's bad, ano, but kasi you know, you have to realize that in the pre-colonial society of the Philippines, sa sinaunang bayan natin, ang lakas talaga ng datu politics.
Yeah.
The datu politics. And the datu politics, and you don't know, the family is part of the datu.
Yeah.
So that's why, and then, but you know, there's one thing that we forget about the datu politics. And that's why datu leadership. That's why I want to enhance this and put it into the conversation. That the dato is not an autocratic leader. Diba? Hindi dapat siya nasusunod lahat. He's a very consultative leader. Number one. Number two, that the dato is the most skilled warrior of them all. He's the best bagani. He's the best bagani. So even if he passes it on to his son, the son should be able to prove that he can be the best bagani in town. So, as long as you can maintain that, you will have the power and then someone will challenge you and they will become the new datu. So, what I would like to emphasize here is, you know, I hope that the inaugurations will also feature that, you know, that we will do our best, we are elected because of our, you know, kakayahan and all of that. And hopefully, di ba, hindi na nila ipasa yun kung hindi naman sila makakapag-deliver sa susunod. Diba? But you know how politics work here. Eh? But yun nga, minsan nami-misappropriate yung datu leadership. Kaya nga, I should all call it bagani leadership.
Yeah.
Because bagani came from the word bayani or wani, which is service to others without expecting anything in return.
Yeah.
Yun talaga dapat ang ginagawa ng isang servant leader.
Yeah. We're nakakalimut. Parang yung na-emphasize natin, kumbaga, yung nepotism part, hindi natin nakikita. Right. Nakakalimutan natin yung part na may meritocracy pa rin. You have to prove your worth in a way. Which, you know, in the Philippines, I think that's one thing about, one major problem about dynasties, aside from, maraming issue on dynasties dito, pero in a way, it paves the way for people who aren't even interested in holding posts and aren't qualified to hold these posts just because of their family. But that's another issue altogether. One major deviation in the inaugural traditions this year specifically, like nabanggit ko nga, kakatapos na yung inauguration ni Sara Duterte 2 weeks ahead of, almost 2 weeks ahead of the start of her term. Of course, it's not the first time in recent history na separating inaugurations ng VP tsaka President. In fact, in 2016, separate yun. Pero iba yung dahilan doon. Kasi hindi naman tense yung relations ni
right.
outgoing Vice President Lenny Robredo and outgoing President Rodrigo Duterte from the very beginning. How do you make sense of this? Like, as a historian, na parang ito nga, it's marking, and maybe, I don't know, in succeeding inaugurations, baka maging norm na to, nahiwalay talaga yung Vice President.
Hindi maganda kasi, sa totoo lang, the Vice President is a support of the President.
Hmm.
Of course, they always say that it's very important, it's a second most powerful person in the land. Pero as we all know that constitutionally, it only waits for the president to die unless you're given a cabinet position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why in many ways, consequential yung kay Lenny Robredo. Kasi tinanggal lahat, kasi tingnan mo, si Inay may posisyon. Si Nolly De Castro may posisyon. Diba? Si Joseph Estrada, definitely, hindi siya binuryong ni ERAP, no? ni FBR. Binigyan siya ng posisyon sa Presidential Anti-Crime Commission at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, si Lenny Robredo, talagang tinanggal, bibigyan siya ng posisyon, tatanggalin. Diba?
Mm-hmm.
Pero ginawa niyang consequential yung vice presidency just by being herself. And
yeah.
Coordinating people, coordinating private help and government funds to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So, in many ways, parang ngayon, ang tingin sa Vice President, importante. Diba?
Yeah.
Mas importante kesa noon. But we also
yeah.
know that in many ways, sa dynamics ni Marcos and Duterte, let's call a spade a spade. Napakalakas nung Duterte.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, I even credit that the Marcoses could not have won.
Oh, absolutely.
If they did not say, yeah.
Yeah.
If they did not say that they're going to continue Duterte's legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, ibig ko sabihin, Sara Duterte was doing it not because she was against Bongbong, but she have a separate power base.
Yeah.
Diba? And then parang siguro, naisip na rin nila na, you know, your father is the president, we might as well have our own parang passing of the torch in Davao City.
Yeah.
No? But also, I also read here in a sense that no, I'm not sucking up to them because I'm a critic of both the Dutertes and the Marcoses. No? Pero that the Duterte will be an independent VP. So he will be part of the team of Marcos. But, you know, I have my own power base. So, you know,
yeah.
we do not know. I will not be reliant. Kasi remember, kapag Duterte official ka, the love of the people doesn't necessarily go to you, even if you suck up to Duterte, or before the term, no? Even if you, I mean, you align yourself to Duterte, because the people's love is for Duterte,
yeah.
not for you. Diba? Yan ang akala nung iba eh. So, in many ways, Sara Duterte is saying na I'm also independent, even if I'm the vice president.
Yeah.
So, and of course, that will also set the tone for a future career moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, just to add to the context of that, though, parang the vice president-elect has a bigger mandate, well, more votes. She got more votes than the president-elect in the 2022 elections. And yung exactly, I fully agree na a huge factor of Marcos Jr.'s landslide win was the fact that he allied with Sara Duterte.
Yeah.
And in allying with, and being allies with Sara Duterte, took the possibly his biggest competition out of the race, which was Sara Duterte. Kasi ang lakas ni VP-elect Sara in the early presidential preference polls, di ba? But when she did not file her candidacy for president and eventually VP na lang siya, na lang quote-unquote kay Bongbong Marcos. nakikita mo talaga yung intense ng angat sa surveys ni Marcos and ni Duterte. But it's interesting that you point that out, and I think maybe in subsequent episodes you can flesh that out, yung how the office of the vice president is changing
right.
with these two women vice presidents back to back. Very
right.
different.
Exactly.
Ironically though, they're very different kinds of not just women but people, right? Parang iba yung approach nila to leadership, iba yung kumbaga iba yung philosophy nila as leaders, as on top, like, aside from the fact na iba yung political affiliations nila, how they're gonna change the office.
And then I've also heard, I'm sorry, but I also heard that the transition is running smoothly.
Yeah, it looks it.
Yeah, and Sara Duterte will occupy the same office as
yes.
Lenny Robredo, kasi she can change, but she will occupy
yeah.
the same building. Yung dyan
yeah.
sa may, ano, no? Sa may New
yeah.
Manila.
Yeah.
So, I think it's going well.
Yeah. In fact, I think sinabi ni Vice President Robredo na they're leaving by tomorrow, a day early, para makapasok yung... Although, I think one tradition, well, hindi ko alam kung kasi yung scope ng immediate knowledge ko yung last administration lang, pero they haven't actually met in person. I recall... VP Binay, when he was about to leave, mga siguro a month
yeah.
before, or personally met with
yeah.
then VP Elect Robredo to talk as people, basically. Not so much political meeting yun, but as transition lang from one VP to another.
Well, ang importante naman, kahit hindi sila mag-meet, yung teams nila ay ano?
Yeah.
Mag-uusap.
Yeah.
Kasi, pwede, kasi the mere fact that, you know, wala naman talagang obligasyon si VP Sara to continue VP Lenny's projects, di ba?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if they can, di ba, that would be also a huge help, no? Pero
yeah.
again, VP Sara will be ISD, no? Inday Sara Duterte.
Yeah.
Will be occupying a post in the education portfolio. So medyo mabigat na trabaho din yun.
Yeah. I want to thank you for that future episode idea. We have to deep dive into the office of the vice president and how it's changed through the years. Maybe we can talk about that also in a different episode. Yung,
right.
yung, like, hindi lang yung dalawang, not just the two immediate vice presidents, no, but even like in the past. Parang feeling ko naman part of the transformation is also in a way VP Binay, because he really used, that's such a negative term, but he did utilize the office of the vice president in a way as a political vehicle, right? Like that was one of his ways also to go around the country.
Well,
ganyan
yan, no? Well, you can say din naman to pretty much all of them yan, ano? But ganito, no? I'll say this. If a president is not given a cabinet position where he or she is going to be busy, then
yeah.
what is he or she is going to do is to just go around the country and campaign. We saw
yeah.
that with, nasa biography yan ni, ano, ni Diosdado Macapagal.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to read the Diosdado Macapagal's biography, yung The Incorruptible,
mm-hmm.
nakakaloka yan kasi, ano, so binuryong siya ni, ano, ni President Garcia, si Carlos P. Garcia. No, binuryong siya, hindi siya binigyan ng posisyon, parang tinanggalan pa yata siya ng aircon o nasipit na si my aircon hindi nagagawa. Mga ganun ka, ano, very
petty.
So anong ginawa niya, no, ni Macapagal? No? Eh di umikot siya sa buong bansa. O, what happened? Di no next election siya nanalo, hindi na re-elect si Garcia. So, you know, it's actually very, kasi di ba, kung makikita mo rin naman, si VP Lenny, ang dami rin napuntahan. Diba? I mean, along with helping people, that is also a way to network. Diba?
Yeah.
Ganun talaga yun. So,
yeah.
kaya kailangan, busy siya sa isang trabaho. No? Na, well, ganun naman dapat, kailangan din naman. Kahit kaya ikaw ay may position o wala, magtrabaho ka. Yun ang mahalaga.
Yeah. yeah. Professor, siguro, second to the last question na lang ito. When, on June 30, presumably people who are watching or listening to this, so you know, kung listening tapos na yung inaugurate, if you're watching this right now and you're watching the June 30 inauguration, what do you want them to keep in mind as they watch the traditions, as they listen to the oath, as they see the parade, na mukhang may full military parade tayo, with the tanks and everything. Parang, what should they bear in mind as they witness this event?
Well, first of all, ano, we might be sad. A lot of your listeners might be sad that, you know, we did not see our candidates win, diba? And some who would watch it are happy. Pero hindi dapat sila lang yung happy eh. No? In many ways, whatever the result of the election, sabi nga natin, diba? That we respect the will of the people, we peacefully transfer power, that is a victory for our country in itself. Now, that doesn't mean, and people will be mad at me and might cancel me to say that I'm supporting Bongbong Marcos. No? I support him as the president of the republic. Not necessarily as a person. Because, as you see, I'm a historian who is very passionate about the plight of the human rights victims. No? Pero, as the president of the republic now, I respect the office. And how do we show respect to the office? By saying that it is right when it is right,
yeah.
And by saying that it is wrong when it is wrong. Not because you want to bring down the president or the presidency, or that because you are a traitor to your country, as some would say. Because you have your loyalty to your president is not your loyalty to your country. But in many ways, when you critic, you're also showing support because you want things to be right for them. So, yun ang, I think that would be my attitude. Like, my attitude for all the presidencies is that I will be critical when it is critical, and I will be generous when you have to be generous to praise. Ganun lang naman. Kasi, people are so rabid now, they cannot accept each other. And that is why we are not talking now to each other. And there is, you know, there are wounds that are being, you know, that should be healed. By merely understanding. And how do you base that? You base that on the truth, not on disinformation, not on overstating it or exaggerating facts, you know?
Yeah. I recall the concession speech of Mar Rojas in 2016. Parang, I know this by heart because I covered it, because I covered the Liberal Party in 2016. I think when he conceded to Duterte, he said something about the Philippines, how we should love it because she's the only one. In fairness, that specific line stuck with me through the years now. Not so much because this is a toxic relationship that we're tied to, but I think at our very core, you know, we root for the betterment of the country.
And
better
also,
or worse, kung sino man yung nakalulok sa Malacanang.
Kasi hindi naman tayo saboteurs eh. Yes, we do not like the person, but, you know, we're not saboteurs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we sabotage him, we sabotage the country, he's at the helm.
Yeah.
Wala na tayong magagawa dun eh. But when it's not also right to say na support ka na lang, wag ka na lang magsalita. Yeah. Hindi naman pwede yun. That's less than loving your country. Kasi kapag mamali na, susuportahan mo pa rin. Hindi naman pwede yun. And makita naman natin ito, in all fairness, Bea, in all fairness to the Duterte administration, may times ha, hindi lahat ng times to. Pero may times pa pag umalma tayo sa social media, kasi di ba si Duterte magsasalita ng mga kabulastugan yan eh. Bakit tinetest niya yung waters? Kapag nagalit yung Pilipino, minsan, kumakambyo din sila.
Yeah.
So ganun ka-importante yung pag-alma kapag kamali naman talaga. Di ba? Hindi natin sinasabi may monopolyo tayo sa mali o sa tama kung anong alam natin lang, tayo lang nakakalam na lahat. Hindi naman ganun yun eh. Ang sinasabi lang natin that this is what we think is right. We should be talking about this. There should be no one way of looking at things.
Yeah. That's how a democracy should be working. Exactly. Professor, siguro to close this, because this show, this podcast is all about trying to make sense of the world, and that's why also I like inviting historians to talk here, because yun nga, parang like I said earlier, parang one way to understand where we are is to understand what happened before us. Ikaw, when you want to make sense of the world, whether it be political, your personal world, or the international reality that we're living in, what do you do? What do you read? What do you watch? Or
what leisure activity do you turn to?
Well, I'm so leisure activity. I'm so very bad at reading literature or fiction, and even poetry. No, my mind really is. I enjoy looking at history, and that's why I take pleasure in reading biographies. Diba? It's very, because my way of relaxation is to watch about World War II, yung mga ganun, ano? Which is actually, diba, parang ironic. The royal family, which is also stressful, no? The British royal family, and of course, Philippine history and all of that. You know why I do that? Because I take comfort in the fact that all the crises that we are facing today, our ancestors and the people before even faced greater hardships than us. But they were able to survive it. That they were able to prevail. That they were able to correct things that were wrong before. There are things that doesn't seem right that are happening around us, around the world today. But we will find our way. And in many ways, that is why history, if it's not all too rosy, yeah, when you depict it or when you do not distort it, it's very comforting. Yeah. History, we take comfort in what happened in the past. And as Jose Rizal once said, I enter the future bringing with me my past, because we learn lessons and we know more about ourselves. And because of that, we face the world as Filipinos better than how our ancestors did before.
Yeah. There's no better way to end this interview than with that quote. Thank you again, Professor Chow Chua, for joining us today.
And that's it for 36 Years this week. We go to the inauguration on June 30. If you're listening to this, belatedly, you can look back and watch the inauguration para makita niyo yung contrast between anong pinag-usapan namin ni Professor Chow Chua at yung nangyari mismo sa inauguration ni Bongbong Marcos Jr. Thank you for watching. Tune in next week. We're going to have another interesting discussion here in 36 Years. Bye, guys.